and Tommy, Dan, and Addie. Thank you guys for coming out. I want to thank Lowell Mountain Highlands area for the retreat, for inviting me out here. My friend Big Mike invited me out. A little nervous, a little bit. I came into this fellowship, on my own accord. I didn't have a nudge from the judge. I wasn't on probation. Nothing like that. I was at the end of my road. I have mental issues that I have to deal with on a daily basis. Things going on, like bipolar and stuff like that, And when I used to run away from myself, of course, which is pretty much what we all use, but I used to get away from myself, and it made me worse every time. It kept making me worse. And I got to a point where I was living above a bar, because I couldn't get a real job because, like, a 40-hour week. Well, I had, like, 40-hour week jobs, but I could only work, like, in a pizza shop or something like that. I couldn't work in a factory or anything because I couldn't pass the piss test. And I was living above this bar, and every morning I'd wake up, and I'd be sick and going through it and just, like, mad as the world. And I hated myself. I really hated myself. I didn't like what was going on, and I drink some coffee, and I get out of my neighbor's house, and my neighbor's apartment, there was all these apartments above the bar, and I get out and talk to her, and I used her kind of like as a counselor, because I was like going through it. Every morning I'd go through it, and I couldn't, is this drugs? Is that what it is? Is that the problem? What's the problem? I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but I started getting to the point where I didn't want to get high anymore, and I still did. I still did every day. Every day I'd get high. Every day, all day long, I'd get high. And I didn't want to, but I did. It was what I did. And I didn't have to break the cycle or get out of that. I ended up losing my job. And when I lost my job, I was pretty upset about that. And I went back to my house after I got fired from my job because the door was shorter. The door was shorter, on purpose. But, that's another story. But anyways, I went back to my apartment, and I was crying and stuff. I was really upset. And, like, I didn't know how I was going to live anymore. I didn't know how I was going to pay for anything or do anything. It was like a bottom for me. It was my bottom. And I'm sitting there, and I was smoking and trying to sort things out. And I was, my head was going all different directions, and I was going crazy. And I really started crying really bad and hard, and I was sobbing, and I was just like a mess. And I said, nobody cares. None of my friends are around. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about me. Nobody cares. Nobody freaking cares. And, then I thought, and then something in my head said, God. What about God? God. And I thought, God. No way. He doesn't care about me. Because I was so far from him at that time that I didn't know what was going on with him. And I said, no, God doesn't believe in me. God doesn't believe in me. He doesn't care. God doesn't care. As soon as I thought that to myself, the neighbor's cat walked up and sat right in front of me, and it looked up at me, and it just kind of like looked at me like, okay, I'm here. What do you want? And I'm just like, this is so weird. That's weird. Well, all that pain that I was feeling inside and all that stuff I was going through, it left me and went to the cat. It, like, just left me. I wasn't crying anymore. The tears dried up. Everything, it was like an awakening. And then the cat turned around, flicked its tail, and walked away. And I'm like, this is weird. And then I thought to myself, I need help. So I called my aunt and I tried to get in rehab. And because of my mental condition, I go to hospitals instead of rehabs. So I went in the hospital for 3 weeks, went through pain withdrawal, all that stuff, got through it all, got out of the hospital, used, because I didn't go to the program. Well, they said the only thing that was good about the hospital after that, besides taking a little break, was they made me go to counseling. And I started going to counseling, and there was a counselor there, and his name was Mike, this Mike guy. And he was a good guy, and he really cared a lot about his patients. He showed his care and concerns. First person that showed me any concern in a long time, you know, really cared about me. And he said, hey, why don't you go to NA? And I thought, well, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. And then, you know, after some thinking about it, I thought, okay, I'll go. So on a Thursday night in Lock Haven, Pennsylvania, where I'm from, I went to my first meeting. And I walked in, and I found out later there was a drug bust in town just recently, and there were about 80 people in this meeting. And I live in a small town, so there's, like, our meetings now, there's only like 30, 35 at the most. And at that meeting, there was 80 people. And I found out later they were all newcomers, except for like two or three people that had some time. And I came in that meeting, and man, I was scared. I was scared to death. I was shaking. I shake a lot. I'm surprised I'm not shaking right now, but I usually talking like this because I get nervous. But I was scared. And there was some guys from Williamsport that come up. I'm from the Williamsport area. And Outreach come up and brought some people up with them. I brought about 8 guys up with them, a couple carloads. And they were all standing there. And they come up, this one big tall guy come up and he goes, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous, and gave me a big hug. And I was like, whoa, this is weird. Why'd you give me a hug? What's going on with that? You know, and then all those other guys gave me a hug, and a bunch of people gave me hugs. And I got probably 30 hugs that night. And it was like incredible. It was the greatest, you know, best feeling I've had in a long time. I hadn't felt good about anything for a long time, you know. And, you know, that meeting started it for me. I went a whole month every day to a meeting. And I'll tell you, when I started going to NA, there were only 2 or 3 meetings in Lock Haven at the time. The rest of them, I either had to go to the other fellowship or I had to get down the road to Williamsport or up to State College. Well, we went to meetings back then. First month I went to a meeting every day, and I learned that whole month that I went, I learned one thing, that the seed was planted, because there's a little seed that NA plants in you when you come here a little bit. You come around a couple weeks, and you'll get a little seed in you, and that doesn't go anywhere, even if you go back out and use, because you still know NA's here, you know. You know, and you know there's a different way to live. And I got a call after a month abstinent, I guess. I was just being abstinent at the time. I wasn't doing any work, wasn't doing anything. And old friends called me up, these girls I knew that I used to party with and run around with all the time. And they called me and they said, hey, you want to go to the bar with us tomorrow night? I'm like, well, I don't know. And they're like, I know you don't drink anymore, but you want to be a designated driver. And I said, okay. So they tossed me right into that, And we walked to the bar. I didn't even drive. We walked. We didn't have to drive. You know, and I still went. And the thing about it, you know, what's funny is I didn't even drink that night. Didn't even drink. But I ran into this other stuff. This guy said, hey, I got an 8-ball in my pocket. You still do that, don't you? And I said, no. He goes, okay. And then he sat there for 2 hours with me. 2 hours, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my God, he's got an 8-ball. What am I going to do? And then I'm like, okay, let's do one. And, you know, I screwed up. So I screwed up. And the next meeting that was there was Tuesday. That was the next meeting in town. I went to that meeting, raised my hands as a newcomer, and I told them I used, you know. And since that day, I haven't found a reason or an excuse to use, you know, nothing. And 4/6/04 is my clean date. And, you know, I got a kid, you guys should see it, I got a tattoo on my leg. I got a tattoo with the NA symbol, you know. I didn't get that until I had 4 years clean because I wanted to make sure I was going to stick around for a little while. You know, because I showed the newcomers and they're like, ooh, I'm going to get one of them. And I'm like, how many days you got? 15. No, that's not cool. But anyways, you know, there's a special guy that I have to talk about. There's a friend of mine that he's my grand sponsor. His name is Big Ed. Ed Brenny's his name. He passed now. He passed a little while ago. If he was in your area, you would know him up close and personal. You would know him up close and personal. Everybody would. Everybody would know him and love him because he's the reason why I'm standing here. He's why. Because of him and everybody else. But he was my main supporter. He wasn't my sponsor. He was my grand sponsor. But if I needed to call somebody with something, if I needed to call somebody and I was jammed up, or I had a question about the traditions, or I had a question about the concepts, or something, I would call him, and he'd go, yeah, well, blah, 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 and he'd just tell me. He'd tell me the answer. He had a lot of answers. Nobody has all the answers. I understand that. But in early recovery, I thought he had all the answers. And I ran around with him a lot doing service. We did a lot of service together. I was the RCM for Williamsport area for 5.5 years. And I went to region, the Mid-Atlantic region, which is out on the eastern part of the state. The middle of the state to the east side is Harrisburg, York, Allentown, Wilkes-Barre, Poconos, stuff like that, in Williamsport area. He taught me how to do a lot of things, especially service, and how to give myself a break, you know. Because he used to tell me all the time, you know, don't be so hard on yourself. Take it easy, one day at a time, you know, just for today. Take it easy, you know. You're trying too hard, you know. Take it a day at a time. Keep it in today, you know. That really helped me, you know, keep it in the day. I remember my 1 year anniversary when I got a year. I was sitting at a table getting ready to speak, and he walked in, and I was like, oh boy, and I only met him like 3 times. And I was scared to death because he's like an icon in our area, sort of, you know. There's no big eyes, little U's, but if there was, he'd be one, you know. And he's a humble guy, though, but he was sitting beside me 1 year clean, just looking at me. I was scared to death, and I was so nervous. I think I shared about using the whole time. I don't know. I don't remember at all what I said, but I don't think I did, because they would have stopped me if I would have been doing that. But I think I did share some recovery, but a little bit what I knew, you know, after a year, you know. But the recovery's like awesome, man. You know, if anybody's early in recovery, you know that. Hold on. Grab your seat. Grab the person beside you. You know, hold on to them and get some hope, man. Get some hope and some experience, because that's what it's about. It's about the hope. You know, experience, strength, and hope. That's what it's about. If you don't get hope from people, you know, find some new people to hang out with, because I know I need to be brought up on a daily basis. You know, I need positive things around me. I need positive things said to me. And if people are bringing me down all the time, I need to be around different people. You know, I've done a lot of service in life. Like, I like, my favorite thing to do is being in a meeting and somebody new comes in, brand new, they've never been there before, and you can tell it's written all over their face, you can tell the new brand new people, and I walk over to them, and I introduce myself, and I give them a hug, and I say, welcome to my class, Mountains, you know, and I do that a lot. I'm not bragging about that, I just, that's what I do, that's my job, that's what I put in my mindset, that's my job, that's what I'm supposed to do, and, you know, that's how I do it, you know, that's how I roll, you know, especially going outside a meeting, you know, I'm talking to my friends, and there's a newcomer over here standing there by themselves, a girl, because we don't have a lot of girls in my area. There's only about maybe 10 girls, and only four of them have clean time. The rest don't. And more like three of those girls aren't there that night. Only one girl's talking to somebody, and then there's a girl over there not talking to anybody. And, you know, I'll go over and talk to her, and not trying to 13th step or anything like that. I'll go over and talk to her and tell her what some stuff that she needs to know, you know, like stick and stay. Well, are you coming to the meeting tomorrow? And tell her where the meeting is. And tell her, you know, get her, let her know that we care, you know, because like I said, when I got here, nobody cared about me. Nobody. Nobody cared. And, like, that's what we do here. We care about each other. And I usually talk to the girl or the guy or whatever, the newcomer, and I'll be talking to them, and then if it's a girl, I'll go, hey, can you come over and talk to them? And then the girl will come over and talk, and then next thing you know, all the girls are around that girl and talking to her. Like, it should have been done in the first place, but they didn't do it because they're, you know, and sometimes they need a little guidance to do that. That's what we do, but like in my area, they know if there's a newcomer, they'll see once again, and they could like set their watch by when I come over, because like even right in the middle of the meeting, I come over and introduce myself most of the time and get their name so we can pass their phone list around if they're late, you know. Some people come in late. But I don't know. Give yourself a break. Yeah, probably gave myself a break in the beginning. I surely wouldn't have made it past, you know, especially after that 30 days when I relapsed, I didn't relapse, I used, because I wasn't working a program at all. But if I wouldn't have gave myself a break and came in and told on myself, you know, and tried something different, did things different. You know, when I first started, I didn't have a sponsor for 6 months. I got 6 months clean, living above a bar. I still lived above the bar 8 months. 8 months into my recovery. And there was stuff going on out there that wasn't conducive to recovery, you know. But I'd go for a walk, I'd come back, I'd go for a walk, and read my basic, I'd put my nose in my basic text and read that, and just shut everybody out, mm-hmm. and lock my door, you know. And, you know, I remember one time a guy gave me a ride home after the meeting, and he's like, "Where you gotta go?" I said, "Shoot that ball over there?" He goes, "Yeah." I go, "Just pull over there and drop me off." He's like, "I don't want to do that." But I explained to him, you know, that it'd be okay. And, you know, I ended up moving out of that place and getting my own apartment. And I've had that apartment for like eight and a half years. Well, December would be nine. But it's like the awesomest thing ever. I mean, you know, I used to have a lot of newcomers come over to my house because I'm always surrounded by the newcomers. I like the newcomers because like a sponge, and they just something you say sticks to them, and you can see the growth in them, and you can see them grow and mature into a productive member of society, you know. And I like being in that process, you know, from a fresh person to somebody new, different, that's molded the NA way, you know, their own way, but with the help of NA, their 12 steps and a sponsor, and a higher power, you know, we're molded into a different person. And I used to have newcomers come over to my house all the time, and man, I remember one time I had like six girls in my house one time. Six girls and just me. And I'm like sitting there and they're like, "What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do?" And I'm like, "Oh man, I don't know." And it just wasn't cool, you know. It wasn't a good thing because it's cool to hang out, but you know, you gotta have some people in recovery that have some clean time around too to break up the monotony, because the war stories and, you know, we can't, let's talk about something about recovery. Let's talk something about recovery, you know. I'll always catch myself doing that because they would just start war storying and then you tell one and somebody else got, "Ooh, I got one, and well, I did this and I did that," and the next thing you know, you're all jammed up and everybody wants to use and you got a room full of people who want to use. What's going to happen, you know? And that's crazy. And it used to be kind of insane. So this one guy pulled me aside and he said, "Hey, when are you going to stop letting all the girls come up to your house?" I said, "I don't know, probably never." And he said, "You know, I can't have with girls, of course." But he said, "Dude, it's just not cool because things that are happening, you know, outside of your apartment, so I'm not saying stuff in your apartment's happening, but you know, outside, people would leave with guys and, you know, stuff, just stuff, 13 stuff in there, and all this stuff would go on, and not with me, but with other people, and it just wasn't conducive to recovery, you know, it wasn't, and, you know, I had to put an end to that, and I had to give myself a break and surrender that, you know, let that go, Big Ed, my friend, used to say, "You don't have an S on your chest. You have an S on your chest? Do you have a cape? You don't have a cape and an S on your chest. You're not Captain Save an Addict. What are you talking about? Don't be freaking doing that. You're not Captain. You can't save the world. You can't save the world." And, you know, and I found out over time, you know, been around a little while, and I know I can't save everybody, but, you know, if I can just give that little glimmer of hope to somebody that's having a bad day, someone that wants to use, is thinking about throwing the towel in, it'd be easier to use. Of course it'd be easier to use. That's what we always did. We're doing something different today. We're doing something different, you know. We're not using try staying clean a little bit, because that's the challenge. If you want to challenge yourself to stay clean, because the rewards are endless. You don't know where you're going to end up or what's going to happen or anything. You know, life goes on whether you're using it or not, but if you're clean, you got a shot at doing something different. And we get into things that we don't even know, you know, going to school, getting degrees, getting a new job, getting a new car, you know. Not materials. I mean, material stuff too comes into play, but then you're filled up spiritually too, working on step work, you know. Working on some step work, sitting down with your sponsor and talking about a good third, honest third step, you know. And being willing to let go, you know. And it's like awesome. You know, recovery's the cat's ass. I've heard that said. God in my area says that all the time. This recovery's the cat's ass. I'm not doing it on time. You good? Is that done? Okay. Keep coming back. It works. You know, I'm going to keep coming back and helping those newcomers. That's all I got.